came to bring us a message.
Think about these three Hebrew children in your lesson this morning, in your Sunday school lesson. The three Hebrew children, the three Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, something was put in front of them, and they had to choose what they were going to respect. I'm always amazed at the things that God does with people like that who will choose to respect His life. That a little bit this morning, and I think we're going to go ahead and go right into it. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:26, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. That it brings up here in this Greek thing is that it says, not only are we looking toward something, but that means we are looking away from everything else. Respect unto the reward. So we're going to look a little bit at this. The Bible says about Moses, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of reward. He had respect unto the recompense of the reward. That means that he is turning, intentionally turning away from the riches of Egypt. He's turning away from the power, he's turning away from everything and turning toward something. He had respect unto the recompense of the reward. If you have your Bible with you today, I would like if you would turn to Hebrews chapter 11. And we're going to read some there in Hebrews 11. That all of you were just standing, but if you don't mind, I would like to have you stand for the reading of the Word. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were made of things which do appear. Things which are seen are not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, but was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony. Now faith is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful as promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say things, such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Abraham, it goes on to say, was looking for a city. And because he was looking for a city that has foundations, whose builder and maker is God, he refused to try to build one here. I don't know if you catch this or not. But it points out that Abraham, who was one of the richest men of the East, and had all these camels and donkeys and sheep and cattle and just masses of wealth, never built a house. Abraham never built a house. You know why Abraham never built a house? Let's go back and look at it. Verse 14. That say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. By faith, Abraham, verse 9, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise, never building a house. Because he's looking out there and saying, I see something out there, I see a city out there, I see a heavenly city, and that is the city I want. Has to do with the idea that we are going to turn away from something. And Abraham said, I can build a city, I can build a house, I can build all these things, but I am turning away from them because there is something else that I am seeking. There's something else. got that verse up there in German too. It makes you feel better. I don't know how to say it. But I don't know how to read German, so I'm not going to try to pretend to read that for you. But I was using that. I used that screen down in Mexico last week, and I had somebody put it on. I don't know what you think about when you think about hope, but I would like for you to think a little bit about this morning, about this verse. To whom God would make known what is the riches. I wonder sometimes. I wonder what was going through Paul's mind when he wrote this stuff down. And we just kind of read over it and then we go on to the next verse. But you could spend a year just preaching on this verse. It's unbelievable. To whom God would make known what is the riches. What's riches? What does riches mean to you? Let me ask you a question. If you had so much money, Tom, if you had so much money that you would pay your driveway with gold, what would you consider riches? More gold. I suppose that's probably the way it is. It's a little bit the way that my dad used to say. He said that money talks, but the only thing it can say is more. But what is riches? If you could use gold, if you had enough gold to pave your driveway with gold, what would you consider riches? In other words, if gold and money had no meaning to you at all, what would you consider riches? Being blessed. Okay, what if you were the blesser? Relationships. To whom God would make known what is the riches. You know, where God lives, what do they use to blacktop the streets? Gold. So I don't suppose the money has much meaning to him. He owns all the cattle on 1,000 hills, right? So there's no, you can't get any more cows. And you got no place to put any more gold. What do you consider riches? Well, one of the things that God considers riches is he considers it riches when you make him look good. Did you know that? God considers it riches when you make him look good. Now, we do these seminars, and we sit here and talk with people all the time, and we do counseling and stuff like that. We try and work with people. But I keep trying to help people. I keep trying to communicate this to people. Lynn, if your marriage is not going well, and your wife is just being cantankerous, I know she would never do that. Because if she would, she wouldn't put up with you. But anyway, I'm just saying. Okay. If that's going on and there's all kinds of fighting and stuff going on, then she's in pain and you're in pain. Everybody's in pain. So you come to me and you want help and you want to get out of your... That means your respect is your pain. You follow that? You are focused on your pain. Do you follow what I'm saying? Okay. I want to help you find your pain. And I want to help you get rid of it. And I want you to start getting along. And I want you to start connecting with each other. Amen? But I want it for a completely different reason than you do. Your respect is your pain. You're trying to get away from your pain. But what I want is I want your marriage to make God look good. See, God wants us to make him look good. Amen? And if we're fighting and we're screaming at our wife and she is being cantankerous, that is not making God look good. Remember that, women, don't be cantankerous. And remember that, men, don't bring that, right? Because when this is going on, it does not make God look good. Now, God doesn't need any more money. Amen. He uses gold for the streets. But what he wants is he wants to look good. You follow that? So that's what's behind the word glory. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory. How good it makes him look. Makes him feel rich. And it makes him look good. Of this mystery. What's a mystery? Unknown. Something. Any? Are there any of the children here that read the Hardy Boy books? Yeah, we used to sit there and read the Hardy Boy books inside of our math book at school. And then we get so involved in this mystery that we would forget to look up and act intelligent when the teacher was asking a question, and she would find out that there was a mystery behind our math book, right? This mystery, something that is unknown, something that is, there's like this unknown thing out there, and it fascinates you. And the Bible says that there is riches of the glory. This glory makes God look good, and the fact that that glory makes him look good, he considers riches. And all of it is a mystery. The riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. So he said, we're going out here to these people that do not know God, and we're trying to help them to understand that God has a mystery, that if you get a hold of it, will make him look good, and when it makes him look good, it will make him feel rich. Inside of himself. And when God takes that life that is inside of himself and he pulls that life out, he will stick it in you. And this is the mystery that we preach, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He's not sure what to do. This is the mystery that we preach, which is Christ in you. God taking his life out, he pulls his life out and puts it inside of you. And when he takes his life and pulls it out and he puts it inside of you, that life inside of you makes him look good. Amen. And he looks down and he sees that life and he goes, ooh, that makes me feel rich. Did you know that if God takes his life and puts it inside of you, that makes him feel rich? Okay, let's keep going. This is the mystery that we preach, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now I lay my thing down before I put it. Oh, the hope of glory. The hope of glory. If I let go of this thing and it falls down, where does it go? To the floor. What happens if I drill a hole in the floor and there's a basement up there? Where does it go? What happens if I go down the basement and drill a hole 1,000 feet deep and then I drop it? Where does it go then? Would somebody mind telling me where this thing is trying to get to? Where is this thing trying to go? Why? Do you know why? You know what we call that? We call it gravity. trying to go back down to the ground. We don't know why it's trying to go to the center of the earth. We have some theories, but we don't know why. We know gravity exists. Amen? We are reminded of that every time we step on a scale. Gravity exists, right? And we measure gravity. We call it weight. But we don't know what gravity is. What we do know is that everything that is made from this earth wants to go back. And if you take anything that was made from this earth and you pick it up and you let go of it, it goes back to the... We also know that the farther away it gets from the earth, the less it wants to go back. Now, hope. When the God of heaven reaches into himself and he pulls out his life and he puts it inside of our human flesh, that life comes from where does it want to go? Back to God. It has a magnetic pull back to God. Amen? That is called spiritual gravity. That spiritual gravity in Scripture is called hope. Is spiritual gravity. There needs to be something inside of us that came from heaven and wants to go. Every man, the Bible says, that has this hope, spiritual gravity, inside of himself, purifies himself even as he is pure. That is spiritual gravity. So we'll go back and look at this verse again. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It looks like this. We went through this last week, so for those of you that were here, I apologize, but we're just going to brush over this. For those of you who are not here, you will just have to listen real fast and try and get a hold of this. In a place where there is no place, in a time where there is no time, out there in the middle of nowhere is God. Inside of God there is life. That life that is inside of God is known in Scripture as Christ. The word Christ, when you read the word Christ in Scripture, it means that life out there that is inside of God. That is why the Jewish people would have considered it blasphemy to say that I have Christ, or that I am Christ, or to say that someone else is Christ. Would have been considered blasphemy, because that life of God outside of time, that life that is inside of God, is considered was known as the word Christ. They had the word Christ meant something to them. Okay, you and I, of course, are born down here on planet Earth. We are born between the beginning of time and the end of time. We don't know for sure where we are at, but we know that we're somewhere between the beginning of time and the end of time, and we know that there is a place out there somewhere where there is no place. There is a time out there somewhere where there is no time. We call that place and that time eternity. It has no beginning and no end. Out there in that place is God. Inside of God is Christ. When God opened his mouth, Christ came out and creation happened. John chapter 1 verse 1. In the beginning was and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Now it's a him. Started out being a word, now it's a him. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shined in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. You know the rest of the story. You know that we took that life. We took that God. We took that very life of God. God took that life, and he, if you please, if you will allow me to use this as a thing, he took that life and he wadded it up and he put it inside of a girl. And that life began to grow and it became a baby and was born onto this earth. And we called his name, and he walked around on earth, and he was known as Jesus of Nazareth. He was not known as Jesus. back and look at these accounts in Scripture, you will find that when Peter first turned to Jesus and said, "I know who you are that Christ," Jesus sat down with them and said, "Very carefully, do not tell me." And there were reasons for that. But he was known as Jesus the Christ, only by a few people around him. And then, of course, after he was crucified and he resurrected himself, he began to be known as Jesus Christ. And later on, they talk, if you read farther on in Scripture, the disciples and the apostles and so on referred to him as Christ Jesus. Do you follow that? It was Jesus the Christ, then Jesus Christ, and then Christ Jesus. And the reason is because he's talking about this life here. It was through that life that he was, and we crucified him, and it was by his blood, of course, that we, through him, can be seated in heavenly places in Christ now. Amen? And there needs, when a person gets born again, when God takes his life and he pulls it out and puts it inside of you, there ought to be something inside of you that starts jumping up and down. I'm just saying, if there's nothing inside of you that starts jumping up and down, then you've got a problem. And if there's something inside of us that's jumping up and down, I think sometimes maybe we need to notify our faiths. Amen? Because there's too many of us walking around looking like we're winged on a dill pickle when the God of heaven says, "I took my life and I put my life inside of you, and I think that life ought to jump up and down. Amen." Now, what do you think that God thinks of that life? Because the God of heaven actually takes his life and he puts it inside you. This is the mystery that we preach, which is Christ in you. See, the first people that received the Holy Spirit of the living God that came on them, they were called believers. They were called believers for many years. They were not called Christians. They were called Christians first in Antioch. When the people around them said, "I don't know what's going on in that room. I don't know who those people are. But I'm telling you that there is a life of an eternal God inside that person." And when they walk around, there is an eternal life of a God outside of time inside of them. Do the people that live with you know that there is a life from outside of time inside of you? Do the people that you work with know that there is a life from outside of time inside of you? I'm fascinated with life. And I always kind of enjoyed this whole thing. When we were in that part of life in our years where we were having children, having babies. And it's always fascinating. Pregnant women fascinate me anyway. Because they walk around in another world. You ever notice that? And it's like the bigger the baby gets, the more they are tuned out somewhere else. And they're walking around with their hand on their tummy. It's like, considered the possibility of stopping at the Grand Canyon and skydiving into the Grand Canyon. I just thought that sounded like 17 different kinds of fun. I'd still like to try it, Harold. You want to go along? I want to try skydiving into the Grand Canyon and then walk backpacking back out again. I just think that would be so much fun. And here was this adventurous woman with me, and she's like, well, that would really be fun. And then, you know, we got home, and we're home for a couple of months, and one day she comes to me and says, we're going to have a baby. And all of a sudden, time the snow flew that year, she's starting to get a pretty good little pooch on her, and we're going and we're getting ready for church, and there's snow on the ground. You know, guys, you know what you got to do the first time there's snow on the ground. What do you got to do? You got to spin around it a little bit. I mean, come on, you got to kind of get the feel of this thing under your tires, right? So we're in this car, and we're backing out the driveway, and I'm like, you know, it's front wheel drive, you know, so you're just gearing, and all of a sudden you just kind of goose it a little bit and flip the wheel, and it goes. You drop it in drive. Away you go. And I'm just like, this is just, watch me, honey. I am good at this. And so we're backing up. We flip this thing around, drop it in drive, and we're just without even stopping. We're going. I'm feeling pretty good about myself. She's not. See, all of a sudden, something about that life inside kicked in. And she had not only lost her desire to go into the Grand Canyon skydiving, she had lost her desire to turn kitties in that car. You follow what I'm saying? The life inside starts telling them what to eat. I want a McDonald's. Okay, well, so we know that how this goes, that they start getting all carried away, and the life inside tells them what to eat. And I think that the reason that I'm bringing that up is because I think you and I are supposed to be pregnant. I think that life inside is supposed to start calling the shot. That life inside is supposed to start telling us what we're going to do and where we're going to go. Amen? Now here's the thing. We can either focus on what we want or we can focus on that life. You follow that? And we are either going to respect that life or we are going to respect us. And if we choose to respect that life, do you remember what the definition of respect was up there? To turn away from. If you and I are going to learn to respect that life, there are a lot of things that we are going to have to turn away from in order to respect that life. We can't focus on two things at once. This verse here just says, if I can go back to it, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. You are in the Spirit. And if we can understand this, that our identity, our reality is up there. And it's up there, not down here. Amen? So Paul comes along, for example, in Colossians chapter 3. And he says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Do you hear the word respect in there? Seek those things which are above. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Respect for life. Respecting that life. Where that life is at. God takes his life and just puts it right in the center of us. He puts that life in there, and we become pregnant with it. So the question I want you to think about today is, who do you respect? Who do you respect? Do you respect yourself? Do you respect that life inside? Which one are you turned toward? Are you turned towards, I need to get this done, and I need to get that done, and I need to do this, and I want this, and I want that? Or are we looking inside and asking that life, what do you want? Because remember, that life inside is what makes God feel rich. And us looking at that life inside and listening to it is what makes Him feel good. respect something else. Whenever you respect something, you must disrespect something else. So what is it that you're going to disrespect? And that, you know, the Bible talks a lot about this. We're not going to go into that, but there's a lot of things in this world that go on that people think are very, very important. I drove into the center of Chicago yesterday to the airport, and I think that I figured out that somewhere in that vicinity or between here and there, there was 3 football games. Riches, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe according to the working of his mighty power. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. This is the last point that I want to make with this today. When God takes his life and he pulls that life out and he puts it inside your human flesh, he is very protective of that life. That life is very important to God. Do you follow that? And if it's important to God, it needs to be important to us. That life that we're talking about is what was in the middle of Jesus. Amen. Now God takes that same life and he pulls it out and puts it in the middle of you. Amen. That's what makes us his brother. And by the way, that's what makes us brothers. Amen. That's what makes us brothers and sisters. Now, how do you think it looks to God if God has taken his life and put it inside of this person, and I come along and I disrespect that person? How do you think that looks to God? What do you think he's going to say about that? Didn't Jesus say, "In as much as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto God's life inside of them, am I disrespecting Christ? We go someplace and everybody's doing something, so we kind of think we should do it too. We live in a world and the world around us says, this and this and this is important. And God says, this is important. And we look over here and we look at what the world around us is saying. We look over here and we look at what the world around us is saying, and we choose. We choose what we believe is important. We either choose to respect the life of God, or we choose to respect what the world around us says. I would like to say, show respect this week. I would like, if you could this morning, just bow your head with me. Disrespectful to God's life. If you look at that life inside of you, if you look down at God's life inside of you, by the way, if you do not have God's life inside of you, you are none of His. But if you look down at that life inside of you, and you ask this question, what have I done this week that was disrespectful to that life inside of me? God, I pray today in the name of Jesus that you would come in this place and you would open our hearts to who you are and to your life in us. Lord Jesus Christ, that we would see your life in us and we would understand what it means to focus on that and to listen to it. And if I could have all of you just follow me. What have I done this week that was disrespectful? God, I ask you to give me the process of what I have done this week that was God, we love you. People, here's the thing. A lot of times we think that the reason that somebody is my brother is because they go to Calvary Chapel. I go to Calvary, they go to Calvary, so that's why we're brothers. The reason that you are a brother or a sister to somebody is because the God of heaven has put his life inside of you. And if he's put his life inside of that person, that makes that person your brother or your sister. They may not agree with your theology. They might not dress like you do. They might not go to your church. people to a place where somebody would come up to them and they would say, Do you ever notice when the great martyrs of Mary, those stories about the Old Baptist or anything, do you ever notice how that they were always trying to get them to remit or renounce something? Do you know why? Because they looked at those people and they saw that inside that person was a life from outside of time. And they said, get that life out! And if you don't take that life out, I will take your head off. I will burn you. I will torment you. I will burn your body. I will drown you in a river. I will put you in the stake and burn you. I will take red hot irons and poke you. I will cut your tongue out. I will. Threat. And they carried him out. But they did it for one reason. There was a hatred that burned, not for that person, but for that life inside. And people, you and I need to be very clear. That life inside is not for sale. That life inside is not for sale. No price. Amen. No price. $1 million? You're crazy. Cut my head off, the neck is right here. Burn me at the stake, I'll sing until there's ashes. But when I am done, I will have that life. Amen. Or shall we say, that life will have me. Amen. That life doesn't have a price. People ask me sometimes, can't you be a little bit more respectful of the system, whatever the system is? No! When I choose to respect a life, I choose intentionally to disrespect everything else. Amen. That life has my allegiance, it has my respect, it has my focus, it has my attention, it has my surrender, it has my commitment. Amen! Listen, if you ever get in a position where somebody says, it's either your head or that life, do not hesitate at all. Hang on to the life. Amen. Focus on the life. Amen. Not only inside of you, but inside of others. Even others you don't like. That concept was so real to the Anabaptists. This is why these people would sneak off and go behind trees and and back into a cave. And when they got back into the cave, by the way, they generally did not have one guy preaching and everybody else sleeping. That was not the way it went. What was going on was more like this. These guys coming up to each other and they're going like this. God bless you and cause His face to shine on you and fill you with joy and peace. And may He stir up that life that is in you. And may He anoint it with the Holy Ghost and fire. And may that life inside of you burn with passion and with life and glory. And may the peace of God... And they would just go off on each other. And as they... By the way, in case you didn't recognize that, it's called prophecy. And as they were doing that to each other, it was building up that life, you see. It was not about this person. It was about that life. I'm speaking to that life. And I want that life inside of me to rise up and speak to that life. Amen. And as that was happening, all of a sudden God would start talking. And God would say to the man, by the way, the soldiers are going to come to your house on Tuesday and burn your house down. Thank you.
said this, and they would speak life into them. God bless you and cause His face to shine on you. And fill you. And they just would go off on that life. Now, of course, today we live in a, you know, microwave society. When we go to church, instead of speaking to that life, we just go...
placed inside of us, not because of who we are, but because of who you are. We want to give you praise and glory. We want your riches.